Well, this morning I stand amazed, humbled, and eternally thankful for the love that God has extended to me. Because of God this morning, He is a real God to me. He's a God that is bigger than anything that I am, any fears, mountains that I may face. And it is that God that we talk about and have heard sung about this morning that offers that living fountain for all of us. It's only God that can have a fountain that springs up. As I was sitting there listening to that song, I got this vision of the fountain of the Lord, and only from His hand can that fountain extend to every one of our doorsteps. Comes by every one of us. And it's there for the taking. You just need to step out and enjoy and partake and allow the Lord to fill you with living water. I'm so thankful this morning that we have that God and that He can be real to us on an individual basis. We are a blessed people this morning. Have the God of all creation be willing to come down to earth, condescend, be as a man, become obedient to death, even death of the cross. Why? For your salvation, for my salvation, that we may have a hope of eternal life. And I'm so very thankful for that this morning. I'd like to share with you a few thoughts that I hope and trust will encourage you at the close of this meeting. I'd like to read out of the 5th chapter of John, starting at the first verse. John, the Gospel of John, 5:1. It says, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked." It's always stirring to read an account that involves the touch of the Master's hand. Because when the Master comes by and touches our lives, there is a change that is wrought that is like no other. A change that cannot be wrought by men, by what I want, what I can dream up, only that comes by the touch of the Master. I want to be touched by the Master's hand. I want you to be touched by the Master's hand. I want us to experience this morning the living waters, because it is available to every single person that's here this morning. No one is exempt, regardless of your background, regardless of what you have done in life, regardless of where you stand today, and whatever mountains may be in front of you. We serve a God that is a bigger God than all of those things, who wants to come and demonstrate His amazing love on your behalf and become a real God to you in your life today. This account that we have just read here, I'd like us to get a picture of the scene that was happening. It said that there was here in Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool. I don't know what all it meant by the sheep market. It sounds like maybe there was a gate that maybe the sheep came through prior to being sacrificed. And it said that there was a pool there and five porches. There were places that offered maybe some shelter. It was a place that was large enough to hold the multitudes, because it said here that there was multitudes of people that were laying. These were people that were in trouble. These were not people sitting at the pool, running back and forth, enjoying themselves, catching some day rays and going and getting a cool drink and coming back and chit-chat. These people were in trouble. They were here because they were in trouble, and they had perhaps a grim hope that maybe for them there could be deliverance with whatever problem it was that they had. Many people with many problems, multitudes, lay here, impotent, unable to take effective action, helpless, powerless, waiting for a spirit and a power that was stronger than they were, that would come and move upon the water, so that one person, not two or three or four, but they had a hope that if the first person that was able to get into the waters, it said that person was made whole. Now I take note here that the person that was made whole often was not the one that was the most spiritual. That's not what this says. It wasn't the ones that were the most physically capable of making it to the water. I'm sorry. It was the ones that were most physically capable. It wasn't the ones that had the strongest desire to get to the water. See, there's a difference between that. It was merely the ones who were most able. Perhaps there were those that had languished there for years and years and years. Maybe they had their own little special place. You know, after so many years, sometimes right here in church, we've got assigned, unassigned seating. And when you come in, you kind of want to know, well, who sits here? Well, there's no assigned seating, but there is sometimes. You know, you just don't know it. Well, it may have been that at the pool, after so many years was going by, this is my place. I've been coming here year after year. I've earned this place. And maybe people have their places at the pool. But maybe somebody came along the week before that was in a little bit better condition. The people that had been there for years, and when the water was troubled, they were able to get in the pool and be healed. It wasn't fair. It didn't seem fair. But that was the reality of it. It was those that were most physically able to get into the pool. And yet, many, the multitudes, impotent, sick, halt, withered, lame, covered the whole gamut, lay around this pool needing help. And on this special day, oh, on the day that the Master came by that pool, I don't know if on that day the people that were around the pool or the man that this account refers to, if it seemed like every other day. I don't know. It doesn't say. Perhaps this day dawned just like every other day, and he found his place at the pool, wherever his spot was. Maybe he was there all night long. I don't know. But on this day, after 38 years, this man was there in trouble, maybe had given up hope. It sounds like maybe he had given up hope. He wasn't able to get, didn't have anybody to help him in. I was struck by the Lord's question and answer. Why he came to this man and not the others? It's an example for us to gain from, to be encouraged by, because he needed help and so do we. And the Lord came by that day and he got right to the point. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And I've noticed here that the Lord didn't say, "Do you have a problem?" and left the opportunity for the man to say, "No, I don't have a problem." Today we live in a society where problems are minimized. We deny that we have problems sometimes. The world is in trouble today and yet tries to make it look like that there's nothing wrong, that everything's okay. People act out of turn and they want it to be okay. They want it to be okay if they choose for it to be okay. Whether there's a problem or not, the Lord got right to the issue. He didn't ask if there was a problem. He said, "Would you like to be made whole?" And I'm struck by the man's response. Did you see what he said? His reason for not being whole? It was not that he didn't believe in the power that was there available that moved in the water. He didn't say, "Well, I don't think that power there is enough to restore the problem that I have." That wasn't his reason. His reason was, "I'm not able to reach the power that is there in the water. And I don't have anybody," it said, "to come and help me, to make contact with him." The power was available in this instant, but he felt unable to reach the power by himself. And so for 38 years, there he languished. And I wonder today about the multitudes in the world that languish and lay year after year after year. Not because you don't believe that God has power, but because you believe you don't have the power to reach the power. We live in a hurting, troubled world. And we have multitudes of people that have gotten to the place where they feel powerless, weak, and hopeless. Oh, maybe we don't drive around and see the multitudes laying around. You know, we have a way of putting on our happy face, don't we? Go through the stores, everybody's got their front. Look happy. Look like they've got everything under control. The postman comes by, they're happy. The cashier's happy. You go to places of business, you go to work, and everybody's putting on their front. You come to church, sit beside folks here in the audience. We put on our Sunday best, put on our Sunday face. Everything's good in my life. And yet, many of us are in a place where we have felt hopeless because we're needy in an area of our lives that maybe we've languished for a long time. And it isn't because we don't think God has the power. It's because we have begun to look at our own inadequacy and believe that we're not able to access the power. And so there are people that languish for years in a state of discouragement. Do you know that the Lord does not want His saints to be living in a state of discouragement? He wants you to be happy. And yet people get to the place where they're discouraged all the time. God has something for you. There are people that are addicted to things and they feel like, "Oh, I've tried to get power over that." And yet they remain addicted and their focus turns away from the power of the Spirit of Christ and turns inward, and they languish and feel hopeless because they don't feel like they have what it takes to overcome that addiction. The list can go on and on. Anxiety. People are anxious, always worrying about things because they feel like they don't have what it takes to get to the place that they want to be. Lack of fulfillment. You go through life without a sense of purpose. You wonder, what am I? What is my meaning in life? How does this gospel apply to me? It must apply to everybody else but me. You know, that's a trick of the devil. And I like to expose that one. So many times we read the Scriptures, hear the promises, hear the Word of the Lord, listen to the beautiful songs that talk about the river that runs by and a big God and a God that can be real and amazing love. And we think, that's a wonderful story. It just doesn't apply to me. You know, there's some things in my life that just, it won't allow me to access and tap into that power and that grace. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. There's good news. The Lord is passing by your way. That power extends to you. And I have this question. If you believe that the power that worked through that water, the power of the Holy Spirit, if you believe in the power of God, don't you think that if the power that God has is able to do all of these things, don't you think it's also strong enough to bridge the gap between your inadequacy and getting to the power? Don't you think that's possible? It is. That's the reality of it. That's why Christ came to the world. He came because He looked down and saw that we did not have what it took to get to Him and get the power over whatever it was in our lives that was pulling us down and discouraging us and causing us to have anxiety and to live in sin. And you know, sometimes people, they can't pull away from the world and it just looks too big for them and they can't imagine a life being different. And the enemy gets them working on that. They want to be saved, but they can't see how they can be separate. We could talk so many things that affect all of our lives and they may be different. And the enemy wants to take every one of those things and make you think that it's your problem. Hey, guess what? We do have a problem. And it's a problem that we can't overcome in our own power. That is why Jesus came. Oh, listen, I want to read in Luke 4 and 18. Listen to what Jesus Himself, I enjoy reading this passage, Luke 4 and 18. This is when Jesus was in the temple, sitting there at the beginning of His ministry, and the Lord arose in the midst of people who no doubt had great need, just like we have great need today, just like the multitudes have great need out in the world. And oh, Jesus came on the scene, and then this day in the temple, He arose from His seat, and He went and He got the books of Isaiah, and He opened it up, and the people were sitting there watching Him, perhaps wondering, who is this man? And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book and He gave it to the minister and He sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. Oh, that was a day, and He told them, that bared witness in their ears, "This day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears." And I want to bring the good news of the gospel to you today. The Lord did not come to save those that were not in captivity. He did not come to bind up those that were not bruised. He came to the ones that were in captive. He came to reach the ones who were in need. He came to reach the ones who did not have the power to overcome whatever it is in your life that you've been languishing for years on, and perhaps getting to the place where you felt in a hopeless state. The Lord came to run that river in front of your doorstep. And He offers you to open the door and step into the water. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And the enemy so often wants us to think that's a wonderful thing, and now I've got to do all of these things and have all of this power to be a saved Christian and have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is not why Jesus Christ came to this world. He came to this world to save those that were lost and were in need. You may be saved today. You may be saved and have a need in your life that you've been working with and fighting with and discouraged with. It may not be that you're living in sin, but the enemy likes to use those things to chip away and distract you and take your eyes off of Jesus and spend a bunch of time with your mind renting out space to those things in your life as opposed to looking to the Master, looking to the source of power, looking to the One who has picked us up out of that pit and set our feet on the rock, and He has a new song for you today. The Lord has a new song that He wants to give to you if you'll turn your eyes to Jesus and let Him be a real God for you. I think too often sometimes we rely on our own strength to physically reach out to Jesus and what He would really like us to say when He passes by our way and He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" First of all, He wants us to acknowledge our need. Too often we're ready to try to cover up our need. We're too ready to say, "I don't have a need. Nothing wrong with me. Everything's fine. What if that man said that? Will you be made whole?" And the man said, "What are you talking about? I'm fine. Everything's good in my life." "Okay. Just checking. Just wanted to help." He would have passed on and the man would have continued to languish. Oh, I want to encourage you this morning. Be honest with yourselves and be honest with God. When He passes by your way and says, He gets the Lord shucks right to the cob. "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know, in the church, in Revelations, to the seven churches, He got right down to it then too. He said, "Because you say you are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." He didn't ask them. He knew exactly where they were. And He said, "You have a need. You're saying you don't have a need, but you have a need." Oh, when the Lord passes by your way, He already knows. I remember one time I was a teenager and the Lord was dealing with my heart. Well, I'll tell you what it was. I wasn't reading and praying like I should have been, but I didn't want to acknowledge the fact that I wasn't reading and praying and giving the Lord time because I was kind of afraid that if I acknowledged I had a problem, that I would bring it to the Lord's attention and then He would recognize I had a problem, and I didn't want Him to know that I had the problem, so I thought maybe I just won't say anything about it. Till I realized, you know, the Lord already knows I got this problem. Might be a good idea just to get it out on the table and acknowledge to the Lord, "I got a problem here." And do you know what happened when I acknowledged it? The Lord didn't say, "Yes, you bad person. You've been having this problem for a long time and you should feel guilty." I received what I needed. "Lord, I got a problem. I haven't been living as close to You as I should. This is my problem, Lord. Get it out on the table." And listen, if you overstate your problem to the Lord, He knows that too. You're not going to catch the Lord by surprise and say, "Well, thanks for letting me know where you stand, because I missed that piece of it. You're right. You do have a bigger problem than I thought." That's not the Lord. Just bring it all out and put it on the table before the Lord. And the Lord wants to be there to help you and to pick you up. Acknowledge your need. When the Lord passes by and He says, "Hey, this thing right here, would you like to be made whole?" Yes. The Lord wants us to say, "Yes, Lord, I want to be whole. And I'm going to turn my eyes towards You, Lord, because I don't have the strength to get where I need to be, but I'm going to trust in the strength of the Almighty God to do that." Too often we find all the reasons why in the world where His power can't reach us personally. Reaches everybody else, we think. But there's this thing in our lives where somehow it excludes us. Listen, don't allow those things to get in between the power that God has for you. His power is great enough to bridge whatever gap you have. Be challenged by blind Bartimaeus. He was on the old street corner and they tried to hush him up. Listen, he was calling out to the Lord. He had a problem. He was acknowledging his problem. People said, "Here, you need to be quiet here. Quiet down." That's what the enemy does to us. Just quiet down. You got a problem. You're not the one that the Lord really has the power to give. You got these other issues that are kind of above and beyond. Just be at peace. Listen, when the enemy does that, be like blind Bartimaeus. You know what he did? He shouted louder. He just started calling out louder, "Lord, have mercy on me, I need help." And you know what the Scripture says? The Lord stopped. Oh, he heard that. He heard that need. And He says, "Tell him to come. Tell him to come."
Be willing like Naaman to dip yourself seven times if that's what it takes. Be like Zacchaeus and climb a tree. You may not be able to become a Christian and have salvation and be this, have victory over all the problems in your life on your own, but maybe you can climb a tree and reach out to Jesus and get in touch with the Lord and trust in His power. That's what the Lord is asking us. He's not asking us to do what you can't do. He's just asking you to do what you can do. He'll do the rest. He passes by. He allows the river to flow in front of you. You just need to step out and step into the water and receive of the Lord. I want to challenge us this morning to put more of your focus on the power and the help that comes from God and get it off of the inadequacies that you have. Because we don't have time for that. We need the help of the Lord today. The Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow for you. That was a promise and that's a declaration for every one of us. Today is the day for you to start making steps and getting power over that thing in your life that you have been languishing in and laying in, feeling hopeless and without help for all this time. Lift up your eyes. Look to the one that is passing by. We live in a world today full of the multitudes of people that need help, that are unable to get to the water by themselves. And the Lord wants to use you. And He wants to use me, that I would be filled with Him so that I too might take it to the world. But I can't do that if I have all of my focus on my own inadequacies. God wants us to get victory in our lives. He wants us to focus on His power, take that beautiful gospel message so that we can apply it to our own lives and then take it to those that are languishing and laying by the multitudes, by the pool, with no hope. Amen. There is healing in Jesus this morning. Oh, lift up your head. Be encouraged. Be challenged in the power of the Almighty God. He is passing by your way. It's personal. He wants it to meet your need. Oh, He's a big God. He's a real God. He's an amazing God with great love. And He is offering to every one of us the river of life that we might step in and enjoy it. And there are no exclusions. Whosoever will, I trust that you'll be able to take these thoughts. Don't let the enemy steal them away. And let the Lord take them and encourage you in His power, in His strength, and in the victory that He has for you. I want to be true. Pray for me.